Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Performance.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Joel Barker is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. More than 6-7 years as a member of our Brain Trust. But as I've said many times before, he was inspiring me many years before I met him and before he joined our Brain Trust and became my friend. And he's your friend, too, whether you know it or not, because of the work he does. He's the author of so many books, including 5 Regions of the Future, Discovering the New Paradigms of Success, Future Edge is the title of that book. He's the author, the creator of the Implications Wheel, and the guy who taught us all about paradigms. He's our good friend, Joel Barker. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Good to be here.
Good to have you back. And also his new film, by the way, folks, he's an outstanding filmmaker, Innovation at the Verge, which you can find at starthrower.com, as I remember. Joel,
that's
is that
correct.
Right? Joel. One of the things that you've been tracking lately, by the way, folks, as you may remember, years ago when Joel started joining us, he started reporting to us on things that are coming at us in the future. And as I've said earlier in the hour, so many of those things that Joel started talking to us about have come to pass. And we're not going to go into those right now, except I want to say that you're hearing more and more about 3D printing. And you heard, most of you heard about 3D printing first, right here on this show from Joel Barker. So, Joel, the thing we're going to talk about this segment, though, is some missing information or some information that may have been missing from previous surveys of global warming indicators, right?
Yep. And there's three pieces of this story that are important. One is that the doubters about climate change had said, well, now if you take a look at the last 6-7 years, temperatures have actually, you know, leveled off and gone down. So if it was true about CO2, and they had a pretty good case because nobody had data on it. The second piece of the story is it took an interdisciplinary team to find the information.
Is that another way, is that a scientific way of saying bipartisan?
Bipartisan, but also multi-point of view.
Right.
You know, what we're beginning to understand now in the 21st century is some of our most important problems cannot be solved by just a chemist or just a biologist or just a physicist. And this is one of those things where a couple of people with very different points of views, one was a computational scientist, the other guy was a PhD in data reconnaissance, and when here's what they found out. 84% of the planet is covered by really good materials for measuring temperature and climate change, and so we can say we got an 84% sample, right? They figured out how to measure the rest of it, and here's what's kind of scary. One of the pieces that wasn't being measured well at all was the Arctic.
I thought we had a good handle on the Arctic.
So did I. We did not. And so these guys got together and figured out a way to take the measures of the Arctic by combining stuff. You know, this is that interdisciplinary effort, and discovered that the Arctic is heating up much more quickly than the rest of the planet.
Isn't the Antarctic also cooling quicker?
Well, the Antarctic, what's going on in the Antarctic is a combination of some parts of it are cooling and some parts of it are warming. It's a very large segment. If you ever take a look at the Antarctic, it is big. But so with the Arctic, figuring that in and some data from Africa, which is right along the equator, and they put these together, they found that, in fact, the planet is continuing to warm up. The climate change and the temperature models are accurate enough for us to say we have got to really get busy. The planet's not going to save us.
Joel, how does someone like me, who is one of those doubters you talked about, and I knew you said that with great affection, how does someone like me get comfortable with this group of people that have created this new information and to where I can feel like that there's no political agenda, strictly science?
Yeah. You know, the problem is it has been politicized, and so, I mean, one of the claims that was made that just irritated the heck out of me was that the scientists were falsifying this data so that they could get money. In other words, it was strictly an economic thing.
But there has been some evidence that some of the information was being, I don't know what they were motivated by, but some of the evidence was not correct.
Well, if you remember that set of emails that went back and forth.
Yeah.
But if you actually go and take a look at that, that looked to me like what I've seen scientists do as long as I've known scientists, which is one challenges the other and says, I don't think your data is as good as you think it is. It's called peer review, right?
Yeah.
You got it.
So, folks, there's new information. We're going to continue to track this. I'm open-minded, but I am a healthy skeptic of some of this stuff. Joel and I have interesting discussions about this, and he's going to continue to be here on the show because I want him to have a voice about his point of view and the new information. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.